Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Where should we place the state's only law school? Declining applicants, smaller classes, and concerns about life after law school are just a few reasons the University of South Dakota is taking the relocation of the law school into consideration. While the proposed move would land the school just an hour north of Vermilion in Sioux Falls, the question resulted in a five-hour task force panel meeting that ended in plans for the next meeting. SDPB's Jackie Hendry sat through the proceedings, and she's here with highlights. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
All right. It seems like a simple enough question. Do we keep the school where it is, or do we move it an hour north? North on the highway. Give us an idea of why this is such a big deal to start with.
Well, history has more than a little bit to do with it, just the fact that the law school has been on USD's main campus in Vermilion since it started over 90 years ago. There's something to be said for tradition, as some members of the community testified yesterday, but the simple fact is that enrollment and applicants for law school at USD are dropping, and it's become enough of a concern that President Jim Abbott commissioned this task force and charged them with looking into the idea of the location change and making a recommendation to him by the 1st of December. The idea in favor of moving the school to Sioux Falls seems to be that with all the amenities of the state's biggest community, job opportunities, greater law firms, and there's the growing opportunities in healthcare law, bank trust law, by putting the school directly in the thick of all of these, the idea is that it will attract more students. But the matter isn't, of course, that simple. It never is. Law school enrollment across the board, across the nation, is at its lowest point right now that it's been in 42 years. And it's fair to say it's been really steep at USD, that decline. In the last year, it's a 39% drop. So it's worth looking into. But as was largely argued yesterday, just putting the school someone else isn't necessarily the quick fix that people think it might be.
So if the declining numbers of law students is a national trend, or other schools approaching the problem in a similar way?
Somewhat, but not really. And I say that based on testimony from a legislative researcher yesterday who compiled some law schools nationwide and how they fared when they were located separately from the main institution's campus. But really, there weren't any examples of a law school closing on the main campus and then moving somewhere else. At most, we had them starting separately to begin with, or in the case of the University of Idaho, to compete with private law firms and things like that, they opened a second law campus. So they have two campuses running, but that just started within the last year, offering the full three-year law school experience on both campuses. So it's too soon to really tell how much that actually benefits the law school.
And I'm guessing that argument in South Dakota didn't have a lot of traction to open to. This was strictly an argument about relocating the one.
Exactly.
All right, you brought us some voices from the meeting. Who will you hear from first?
I did. The first bite we'll hear is a bit of testimony from the dean of the law school in Vermilion, Dean Gooey. This particular portion is largely in response to the idea that Sioux Falls would be a better fit for law students because of that concentration of more high-profile jobs.
There are no shortage of law students, even though there are fewer graduates now than there were several years ago across the country, who will move to Sioux Falls just like doctors will move to Sioux Falls. Lawyers can read too. Sioux Falls seems to be booming. If you are from out of state, you might want to come to Sioux Falls, particularly if you're interested in trust law, health law, banking law, those kinds of activities. So I would suggest that the question we're really seeking to answer, although there are layers, the question we're seeking to answer is who is going to be the circuit judge that serves Buffalo, South Dakota in 15 years. At base, we are what I term an infrastructure school. We provide the legal infrastructure of populate the legal infrastructure of the state of South Dakota. We also provide many graduates who do things other than practice law.
And that was Dean Gooey, the dean of the law school at USD. So there's several important points in that bite, including the fact that lawyers can also read and keep an eye on job trends no matter where they are. Right. But
duly noted.
A big point coming up at the end is that not every student who goes to law school is going to practice law. Mm-hmm. So we see not only graduates from law school, those numbers are dropping. The numbers who take the bar are down too. And testimony later yesterday from the director of career services for the law school said that this is, again, a trend both at USD and nationally. And that's what we're looking at called the JD advantage. So mm-hmm. you get your Juris Doctorate, you get your law degree, but you take those skills and put them somewhere else. Compliance jobs were a big topic yesterday, working with companies to follow guidelines, maybe more high-end HR positions. And it seems that that trend is increasing because upcoming generations are looking for more of that work-life balance. So you can make a similar amount of money, but working more regular hours.
All right. Good for them. What about the rural communities who throughout the state of South Dakota who really still need the good old-fashioned lawyer to be in their county?
That was my question when this was first announced, and that was a big question yesterday from several people. And it ultimately is about how the law school can both best serve students and sustain itself, but also serve the legal needs of South Dakota, which is a rural state. And Dean Gooey's argument is that Sioux Falls just isn't where the dire need is. It's in the small towns. The next clip I have is from Kelsey Collierwise. She's president of the Vermilion City Council, but she herself graduated from USD's law school. And she makes a reference to a recruitment program that already exists for attorneys in those rural areas.
But most importantly, South Dakota is in great need of attorneys, private practice, state's attorneys, judges. The purpose of the law school and why it is supported by South Dakota taxpayers is to make sure everyone in our state has access to vital legal services. Sioux Falls and Rapid City are not experiencing the shortage of attorneys that we're seeing in the rest of the state. Creating more lawyers in those communities is not serving the public interest. Smaller communities struggle to fill necessary positions. Aging members of the bar have to choose between retirement and the well-being of their communities. I want to commend Mr. Morris for the work that he did on Project Rural Practice and bringing that issue to the attention of the state. We have so much work left to do. I can't imagine a potential student who wouldn't even spend 3 years in Vermilion, which is too urban to qualify for Project Rural Practice, would somehow end up in Lemon or Bison or one of the other communities that really needs legal services.
And that program she mentions offers financial incentives for attorneys who serve a certain number of years in a community. The population requirement for that is 10,000 or less, and Vermilion is somewhere around 12,000. Sure. She also makes the point that if just moving the program to Sioux Falls were the solution for enrollment numbers, then the University Center would be the most successful enterprise the university has, and that has not proven to be the case. I have another clip from Senator Art Rush, who made a similar point in his testimony.
Is there any real guarantee that moving the law school to Sioux Falls would increase the enrollment? You know, the recent publicity is showing that the University Center there in Sioux Falls, that their enrollment is, I think what I saw in the news story, half of what they had anticipated. So, you know, would necessarily moving the law school to Sioux Falls solve that problem?
So, Jackie, it's pretty safe to say that the Vermilion community as a whole is opposed to this move.
Based on what I saw yesterday, that's 100% safe to say. In close to a dozen testimonies from the public, I don't think I heard much of anything truly in favor of the move straight out of the gate. In fact, last night, the Vermilion City Council unanimously passed a resolution in support of keeping the law school in town, which may be no surprise to anyone. But it's in that resolution, it cites the symbiotic relationship that the law school has both with the campus and that city community. Also, of course, business owners are concerned. Michelle Maloney is a big name in the Vermilion business community. She currently works in real estate. She said in her testimony the loss of the 21 law school professors alone would amount to a $2.3 million loss to the city of Vermilion. And also the Jason Thiel, who operates the town's movie theater, says that the maybe 140 students or so who are in law school at any given time, they and their families, particularly around graduation time, they are crucial to the survival of the small businesses when school is out of session and during those slower summer months.
All right, we've talked about potential disadvantages for the community of Vermillion, arguments about the statewide issue of rural law. Are there any practical disadvantages for law students themselves of moving that school to Sioux Falls?
There was one that really became a major theme yesterday and that the committee is going to be looking into further, and that's the idea of joint programs. And that's where you work on your law degree and a master's degree in something else at the same time. USD has 9 different joint programs, so a law degree with a master's in history or something like that. Tom Sorensen, who was associate dean of the law school, mentioned that in his time working there, those joint law programs were a major recruitment tool. And the appeal of those is that after 3 years, you graduate with both a law degree and a master's. Separately, it could take up to 5 or more. And that would be nearly impossible if the law school is an hour north of the main campus with all those other programs. But the question the committee had was what the numbers actually are of the students in those joint programs, how much that would actually be a deciding factor, and that's on the agenda for the next meeting.
And most likely for those who want the program to stay in Vermillion, that's another concern.
Absolutely.
What follows if you start moving the law school? What happens next?
Absolutely.
All right. What happens next in the debate about whether to move the law school from Vermillion?
We get more meetings.
More meetings. We love them.
So the last order of business yesterday was to schedule the second meeting. A date was set for September 6th. That's a Wednesday, somewhere up in Sioux Falls, location TBD, and many, many items on the agenda. Again, the task force wants to hear more from industry professionals. Like I mentioned at the start, healthcare law is increasing in Sioux Falls. Bank law, they're looking for professionals to give their input on that. They'll hear more on funding and possibilities for maybe a relocation isn't what we need. Maybe it's more scholarships, tuition flexibility. And they'll also consider maybe just the possibility of improving the current building in Vermillion.
Sure. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Jackie Hendry, SDPB reporter, who is covering the committee meeting to sort of the task force to find out whether or not the law school should be moved from Vermillion to Sioux Falls. And I'm just wondering a little bit, Jackie, about this notion of identity. How interwoven for those people who came out in Vermillion, did you feel like it was a personal affront to them that this law school could potentially move and that the conversation was even happening? Do they take it personal, or was it mostly economic and based on the numbers?
That's an interesting idea, because I think especially for business owners, like this is their life is so intertwined with the reality of being a college town and what students bring to the economic viability of living here in Vermillion. I think that a lot of what I heard was concern for the feasibility of a business. We had a very, very small business owner saying I something less than 10 employees, but a dozen families relying on those jobs. His voice shook a little bit giving his testimony, just that kind of concern. Someone else called it a solution looking for a problem. We're doing okay here. We're in line with national trends. But we might make things worse if we take this major step of moving the law school somewhere else.
Who's on the committee?
Well, it's chaired by Representative Mark Mickelson of Sioux Falls. He's chair of that. We also have law school professors, a couple of law school students, attorneys, business professionals, members of the Board of Regents, people who know what they're talking about when it comes to law education and the needs of South Dakota and educational needs. And it's nice to see a couple students on that committee as well to give a look into what students are looking for.
All right. So hopefully a decision or a recommendation, I should say, by the beginning of December. Next meeting in Sioux Falls, Jackie, I'm assuming the context of that meeting could be very different from what the Sioux Falls residents have to say about making the move.
Right. I'd be really interested in seeing that, obviously.
Go find out. More meetings for South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Jackie Hendry. Jackie, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thanks, Lori.